This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for listening to the Evening Edition. Now, I was never any good at science in school. Physics, biology, especially chemistry, just not my thing. But the kids these days, they've got so much more than just a big, ugly, purple book of chemia. They've got apps. Well, actually, they've got the world's first role-playing game that also teaches you chemistry. What's more, it's by Malaysians. Uma and Ezra speak with the creators of this revolutionary educational product and find out just what digital games like ChemCaper mean for the average Malaysian student. Check out that podcast once you're done listening to this one. Just make your way over to bfm.my and search for ChemCaper.
It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation. Talk back on the Evening Edition. Only on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, folks. I'm Ezra Zayed.
And I'm Uma Pagan Ampake Pagan.
And it's Thursday, therefore, Talk Back Thursday.
The biggest conversation, Ezra.
Alrighty then. We're going to get you to call in and contribute to this conversation. You can call us at 03-77-109-000. You can text us at 016-201-9000. Of course, you can also use this new thing that the kids are calling Twitter and tweet us at BFM Radio. And the question that we're talking about this evening, something nice, light and easy, we're going to be talking about...
You say that, but, you know, before we introduce the topic, let's say you say light and easy, but this topic incites some really strong opinions.
That's true. We're talking about the Malaysian film industry, and the reason we're talking about it is that we've seen some fresh success with a lot of strong performances on a number of recent local films. You can start with Ola Bola, you can start with Munafi, you can start with Police Evo, you can go on to that wonderful film called Jagat, and...
also, Bobo Boy, the movie, the animated
that's,
film, breaking all kinds of records.
Absolutely. And so we're going to be asking you today, what are your thoughts about the film industry? Do you think that there's hope? When was the last time you went to see
a Malaysian film?
And are you excited with the string of films that have been presented to you so that you can spend your cash on those films rather than, say...
Transformers 7?
Oh, right. There's that.
Makes a lot of money, I tell you.
Yeah. We'd love to hear what you think. But Uma, you have, a sense of optimism about the Malaysian film industry. I mean, you've...
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I'm sorry, because you've been anchoring the show at the movies for some time now, and you've been promoting more often than not a lot of local films.
Yeah. So of late, we've had a whole bunch of good local films, which we've been talking about at the movies. In December, we spoke about Police Evo and Jagat. We spoke about Ola Bola. We spoke about, tomorrow, we're going to be speaking about Bobo Boy, the movie.
Bobo Boy.
And I haven't seen Munafik yet, but I want to go and watch it. It's a horror movie that's apparently made, I think, 8.9 million ringgit in 2 weeks.
Wow.
A big deal. Lots of money, right? I'm not optimistic because when I look at the statistics, I think these are anomalies.
What statistics do you have?
So unfortunately,
before you get into it, if people want to chime in on this conversation,
just keep calling.
Call us at 03-77-109-000. Text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you whether you have hope for the Malaysian film industry.
Yeah.
Let's see those stats, Uma.
So the average Malaysian movie, right, cost maybe between 1.5 to 2 million ringgit, right? Average Malaysian movie. Very few movies cost more. There are some that cost more. Most of them cost less. Now, we have a bad habit of we're not as advanced as the United States. We don't track box office figures on a weekly, daily. It's not announced in that way.
It's announced in a bila dapat kita cakap kind of way.
If a movie is doing very, very well, then we'll feel the need to...
Let people know.
Otherwise, you get a yearly list. At the end of the year, you'll get a list from issued by Finas. We'll tell you how all 80-odd movies, we usually release about 80 movies a year. So, in 2014, the total box office takings were 74.6 million ringgit for local movies.
All right, shy of 75, okay.
Right? In 2015, huge drop.
How much? Total box
office taking, 80 movies released, 52.8.
That's a significant drop.
Yeah, so you lost 22 million, essentially, in box office tickets.
And where was that money going? That money was going to other films, I imagine.
I'm imagining, I don't have cinema statistics either because they don't release their takings very often. But here's what I have to go on. I'm assuming that money that spend is going on foreign Hollywood movies because cinemas are expanding. they are full. They're saying that they need to build more screens all across the country. So clearly, if they are undergoing this massive expansion, it means that Malaysians love their movies. They love going to the cinema.
Well, we love our movies, but we're also loving the...
Oh, the uncles. What? Actually, no more uncles. Now it's just torrents, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of variety and options right now as to how you want to watch your movie. You don't have to watch it in the big cinema, but of course, that is still an amazing experience. People are now watching stuff on their phones, on their laptops, on their iPads. And is that such a surprise that those numbers have dropped? Or are cinema goers still a particular breed?
Well, globally, I think the numbers have gone up year on year. And last year was a big year for cinema with Fast and Furious 7, with Star Wars. The American box office was at an all-time high. The rise of China. So China is the world's biggest movie market, right? So international numbers are up. So I don't think Malaysian numbers are down. I think Malaysian movie numbers are down. I don't think and with good reason. The vast majority of movies that I saw last year came out of our country, not great. Number one, of course, was Police Evo, and we both really enjoyed that film. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was a good example of a good film. But Police Evo made 17.47 million ringgit. Number two was a movie called My Papa Rich, and that only made 3 million. Right. So you see the huge disparity.
Folks, we'll be talking about Malaysian films and the film industry. What was the last film you watched? Do you have hope for Malaysian films? And do you often more often than not spend money on just anything but a Malaysian film?
So I want to know, call us and tell us when was the last time you watched a Malaysian movie. Because
and how you felt about it,
every
perhaps.
Time I speak to someone, they say, oh, Malaysian movies are so rubbish. And then I'll be like, oh, which was the last one you saw? And they'll name a Yasmin Ahmad movie from 10 years ago.
Right.
And they're like, oh, that's the last good one I saw. And I'm like, well, if you haven't seen a movie in 10 years...
Something must have changed in that time.
Give it a shot.
We've also got a poll happening on twitter.com/BFM Radio. That's coming up very, very shortly. But you can call us at 03-771-09000. You can text us 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you, what are your thoughts about the Malaysian film industry? When was the last time you went to see a Malaysian film? And whether you liked it or not, we would love to hear from you. We've got some music for you right now by Vampire Weekend. Worship You, BFM 89.9.
Get in touch right now. Call 03-771-09000. Text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Talkback on BFM 89.9.
Uma and Ezra here on Talkback. We're asking you the question, how hopeful are you about the Malaysian film industry? And we're talking about, whether you'd spend your money watching a local film or a foreign film. There's been some resurgence of late by some of the local films. We're talking about Hola Bola, we're talking about Munafik, we're talking about Bo Boy Boy, and they've been doing relatively well at the box office, and it's given a lot of people some sort of optimism that, you know, Malaysian films are on the way up. Do you feel that way? If you don't, tell us at 03-771-09000. You can text us at 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. I'd love to hear from you guys as well. What was the last local film that you watched either at home or at the cinemas? It's going to be interesting to see what the response is this evening. We've also got a Twitter poll happening as well.
It just went live. We've got an hour and 30 minutes on that Twitter poll. Essentially, it asks, if you had 20 ringgit in your hands right now, would you watch Bobo Boy the movie or Kung Fu Panda 3?
Ooh, right? Interesting.
Both brand new releases.
Yeah.
Both animation. Both animation, and they're both out in cinemas now. What would you spend that 20 ringgit on, right? That's the question. And I think that's the question that everyone debates on. It's like we all have limited spend.
Yeah.
Do we go and watch a movie where even the worst Hollywood movies have a base level of technical proficiency? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's something there. Or do we get our hearts broken with a Malaysian movie,
yeah,
right? Where it's a hit and miss.
Well, let me tell you this. I think if you were to give me, 20 bucks and the option was between Gods of Egypt and Hola Bola, I think I would probably take my bet on Hola Bola on that one.
Any day of the week, right?
Right. So that's a good scenario in which, you know, Malaysian films win in that case, right?
But then again, Hola Bola is far more technically proficient than Gods of Egypt.
Wow. Right? Gerard Butler is just crying in his heart right now.
No, I have a question for you though, Ezra. When you're watching these movies, when you're watching a Malaysian movie, do you do the same thing that I think many Malaysians do? And
yeah,
this is what causes even the good movies in Malaysian cinema to suffer, which is you wait for recommendation. See, Wajib Tayang works because they're like, oh, you've got 1 week to, you've got 2 weeks, but then if your movie doesn't well, if your movie doesn't do well in 1 week, or if your movie doesn't do well in 3 days, then they will cut down the number of screenings, which make it harder.
Right.
But most Malaysians are not going to go on the first day. Most Malaysians are going to wait until someone has seen it.
Yeah, give a good review.
Actually, it's quite good. Go watch it. Yeah. And then, you know, only on week three, week four, the numbers start picking up. Right?
We've got our first caller of the day. Sean is on the line. Sean, welcome to the show. Tell us, you know, what are your thoughts? Have you seen a Malaysian film recently, one that you enjoyed?
My last film for local film is Ola Bola. But actually, previously, I watching Jagat. Both I had different experience. If you ask my opinion, Ola Bola is kind of commercial success.
Mm-hmm.
But Jagat, I would say it leaves a deeper meaning in the Malaysian film industry. That's how I see it. But again, if you look at the majority of our Malaysian citizens, I think Astro Show are doing a very good job. I would say they have this formula to able to produce a film that able to make money, like from Journey, like, Police Evil, and now Ola Bola. I mean, they have some stall formula, and of course with the backup of Astro as a channel to boost up the thing. I would say Ola Bola have a backup of media, but
good marketing,
more potential. Yeah, that's how I see it.
All right, well, thank you very much.
And, of course, you know, that's really interesting because, you know, those are very, you know, contrasting films in experience and
also
in message. And
in production,
yeah.
One had a budget of 300,000 ringgit, another one had a lot more money.
Right.
But yet, both had a certain amount of critical acclaim as well. And what's interesting for me is from the text messages that are coming in, a lot of people are talking about horror flicks being their favorites in the sense that it's something everyone can relate to and the storylines are great and you get a bit of scary entertainment at the end of the day, which is why we have so many horror films come out week on week on week.
Because they do well with the masses. 0377109000 is the number to call. You can text us as well, 0162019000, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you about what was the last Malaysian film you watched and whether you enjoyed it. Do you think there's hope for the Malaysian film industry? We've got Saf on the line. Saf, you think that the local film industry seems to lack some sort of originality. Is that the case?
Yeah, I mean, personal opinion, I feel that that's the case for a very, very long time. For example, Ezra mentioned just now about the horror flick. It started long ago with Indonesia, with Sundal Bolong and all that. And we found ourselves still stuck in a horror flick. And then, you know, the police story of Hong Kong and the gangster movies were long gone, and we're still stuck on it. And we're still using the same formula to make money.
And Saf, do you think it's a case where we pick up on certain trends maybe a couple of cycles too late?
I do believe so. I do believe so. And every time we have the opportunity to venture or to explore something new, massive grants out to film, to local filmmakers, but they end up doing the same thing but with an extravagant budget.
So Saf, I got a question for you though. I mean, so we watch a lot of Hollywood movies and a lot of them are, I guess, formulaic and following the same formula. For me, the question has always been quality. So Police Evil, for example, was a Lethal Weapon, Bad Boys kind of film, but the quality was actually quite good and I enjoyed it. So for you, even though these movies are formulaic, is it a question of them just not being good enough?
Number one, I feel that it must have a good storyline. Recently, you know, after the Ranjau Sepanjang Jalan, the Abang era, and all that, I feel that our movies lack storyline. And another thing is, you can hardly hear them speak. I'm not too sure what seems to be problem. It seems to whisper a lot. I can't even, you know. So those are the small things that makes it, you know, not at par with the Hollywood movies.
And it's a case where, you know, a lot of these films, what was the last film that you watched that you quite enjoyed?
Okay, I because my kids wanted to watch Ola Bola, so I thought, okay, just watch it and give it a chance. Good attempt for me, but because coming from a football fan, I feel that there's definitely a story to tell. I thought it could have been taken up to another, to a whole different level with Ola Bola.
All right. Thank you very much for that. We're going to move on to our next caller. Fadi is on the line. Fadi, what do you think about Malaysian films? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it?
I think what we're missing from the Malaysian film industry is a good sense of storytelling instead of technical proficiency, especially with why Yasmin Ahmad's films were so great. Her cast weren't huge. She didn't have many special effects, but how she told her story, how she revealed each layer of their character step by step and about the conflict, I think that's what made her films so great, at least.
All right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think that was one thing that actually Yasmin did very well. But, you know, that was so many years ago. Right, Ezra? I mean, we're not getting that same kind of response as often enough with current day directors.
Yeah, but I think for the Malaysian film industry to prosper, we should move on from, say, catching trends of Hollywood films about their technical proficiency and appeal to our demographic, our population, which really appeals to emotional satisfaction. And that is what you can get with good storytelling.
And Fadi, what was the last Malaysian film that you had spent money on at the cinemas?
It was Ola Bola with my mom because she wanted to watch it.
And
I like that errata, man. I like that you have to qualify that it was weird. Oh, my mom wanted to watch it.
Yeah, because before that, it was a small budget film called Kill. And even before that was a decade ago or so, Yasmin Ahmad film. So not much experience in my, for me, but I think that is reflective of where we're going with the Malaysian film industry if we continue to focus on the same things.
All right, thank you very much for that, Fadi. 03-771-09000 is the number to call. You can text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you about your thoughts on Malaysian films. When was the last time you had sent some of your hard-earned ringgit to the cinemas and picked a local film that you enjoyed?
That's right. There's another movie. We've got a bunch of tweets about this movie. Another local film which was just released today called The Kid from the Big Apple. It's an award-winning movie. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I'll definitely check it out and review it on an upcoming episode of At The Movies.
Yeah, we've also got a poll happening at our Twitter account, twitter.com/BFM Radio. And the question is, if you had 20 ringgit in your hands right now, would you watch Bubble Boy, the movie, or Kung Fu Panda 3?
Do you want to know how it's going?
Tell me how it's going.
It's almost a dead heat.
No, is that right?
There are 68 votes at the moment. Bubble Boy, the movie, is losing just by a little bit at 44%. Kung Fu Panda 3 has the lead by 56%.
Jack Black's got nothing on Bubble Boy 3.
That's right.
Bubble Boy, rather. I'm already thinking of two sequels.
Well, they're planning two sequels, so you know.
Yeah, you never know. 03-771-09000 is the number to call. You can text us at 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Ramesh is on the line. Ramesh, what do you think about the potential for, you know, Malaysian directors, Malaysian actors and actresses, producers to really deliver good stories and good films?
All right. I think one of the main reasons lacking in our Malaysian movie industry, I think it's got to do with the talent. I strongly believe we are short of good talents. When I say talent, I'm talking about, you know, directors, like the technical guys, even the actor and actresses themselves. So I think like a lot of good people are not going into this field. And when I try to think back why, I think it's got to do with the culture in Malaysia and also the lack of platform in Malaysia. I mean, I lived in the Philippines for quite some time. I can tell you that, I mean, people there really believe that, you know, you can make a career out of this entertainment industry. That's why you can see a lot of Filipinos thrive really well in, you know, in the beauty pageant or acting or, you know, anything got to do with entertainment. But I think that sort of thing is lacking in Malaysia, which stops a lot of good people entering the entertainment field. And hence, you get the final product, which is not a very high quality end product.
So, Ramesh, just a quick thing. I think I beg to disagree with you on one thing, which is that I think we do have incredible technical skill. A lot of Malaysians are imported across the region, exported across the region because they're so good at what they do. I think where we do lack a certain amount of expertise is probably storytelling and scripting. I think that's where we tend to fall short. But our directors, we've got some really good actors as well all over the place. Yeah. And the technical skills as well, especially, you know, props, sound design, that kind of stuff. We've got really good people, but it doesn't come together. I agree with you, though, that we don't see it as a possible career move.
No, man, I do agree that we have like a sizable number of really good people who made it like really big outside Malaysia. But what I'm trying to tell is, like, you know, I don't think we have such a culture. Like, for example, right, if I'm a parent, right, like I have like my children who wants to, like, you know, be serious about, you know, being an actor or like being a producer or director. I don't think I encourage that because in Malaysia, if you compare with Thailand and Indonesia or Philippines, for example, I think they have like certain level of acceptance higher than us, I guess. I mean, let's don't talk about budget at all. Like, I'm not going to compare Malaysia against Hollywood. Obviously, we can't match with that kind of high production. But I think one thing we lack is seriously the culture and also the platform and avenue. I mean, for example, right, when you look at reality shows, how many reality shows are there, like, for you to, like, you know, for the young guys who's going to, like, who's dreaming of making good movies and etc. I don't think we even have like one reality show where trying to get good things out of like these aspiring directors. I mean, that's just one example I can say. So
thank you very much for that, Ramesh. I mean, we certainly get it. I mean, there's a lack of sometimes it's an opportunity, but you know, I mean, we do want to increase that talent pool as much as we can. Ramesh, thank you very much for your call. If you want to chime in on film industry, movies, what was the last local film that you enjoyed, we'd love to hear from you. 03-771-09000. You can text us 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Talkback returns after the news. BFM 89.9.
Hey, you. Yes, you. You in the car. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. It's time for Talkback. So, hands-free car kits at the ready? Yes? Good. Let's Talkback on BFM 89.9.
Ruben, Ezra here on Top Back, and we're asking you what hopes you have about the Malaysian film industry. How do you feel about local films recently? There's been, a resurgence of sorts when it comes to some of the box office numbers that we're seeing for some of our local films.
I think so in the last 2 months.
Yeah, and it's very promising and it's exciting, and I hope that there are more films that are going to be doing well as well.
I'll give you an example. I mean, so Hola Bola, I think, made about 17 million-ish, maybe. It's hovering around that number. Munafik made 8.9 million. It's only been cinemas for 2 weeks. Bobo Boy, the movie, I think after a week, is now at about 4 million. If you add those numbers up, that's over one-third of the entire of 2014's takings.
Very promising
so
indeed.
That's a good start, right? Hopefully the rest of the year we've got enough movies that can push that number higher.
But tell us what you think. 03-771-09000 is the number to call. You can text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got a poll happening on Twitter as well, so check that out. Uma, what do we have?
Got a bunch of stuff on text. I'm just going to summarize. Got a whole bunch of text talking about censorship. Saying that, you know, not much format for Malaysian filmmakers to use because we have such strict censorship. We can't make movies like Enemy of the State or The Dictator or even The Departed without huge censorship or bans.
I see where you're going there.
I disagree with that completely. I completely disagree. If only because some of the greatest movies of all time, out of Italy, out of France, out of the US, back in the 50s, 60s, they had censorship laws as strict as ours. And they worked around them and made some really, truly great classics. Also, even if you look at the as Oscars, what do you have? You've got Inside Out, you've got Spotlight, you've got movies like that, even The Revenant. They just told really good stories in a really good way, and there was actually nothing to censor in those films. I don't know. I think it's all down to storytelling.
Tell us what you think, if you agree with what Uma just said. 03-771-09000. Aizat is on the line. Aizat, what do you think about Malaysian films? Do you appreciate it very much?
Yeah, first of all, tahniah BFM kerana menimbulkan topik ni yang saya rasa cukup bernas. Dan saya dengar tadi macam komen-komen orang lain sebelum ni calling, ada pakcik tu cakap, abang ke pakcik saya tak ingat, tapi dia cakap, dia kata yang susah nak benda ni nak jadi kerja kan. So saya rasa macam benda ni down to appreciation juga lah. And how do you embed like the appreciation punya niat tu, appreciation terhadap seni, benda ni pun seni kan. It's down to education. So bila kecil-kecil lagi saya ingat masa time sekolah dulu belajar pasal macam mak suruh target sains, target math, target ni kan. Memang fokus sendiri lah. Lepas tu kita lupa subjek macam seni, pendidikan seni, kepada hidup, pendidikan jasmani. So benda tu tak ada appreciation tau. That's why bila kita cakap pasal movie Malaysia, kita rasa macam, oh tak ada culture tu. Mana ada culture?
Jadi tumpuan kepada culture budaya dan seni tak cukup lah?
Yeah. Because dekat sana diorang educated. Diorang dah diajar benda-benda macam ni tau. Macam, oh okay, you need to appreciate this art. Form ada meaning, ada ni. Tapi dekat sekolah time dulu saya, untuk saya lah. Saya tak tahu untuk orang lain kan. Tapi untuk saya, memang saya tak dapat benda tu. Masa dulu cikgu saya ajar pendidikan seni macam remit-remit je, nak tidur je. Dia memang tak ada fokus sangat. And then kita end up fokus terpaksa nak kena score untuk math, science, yeah, add science, semua benda ni yang kita orang rasa macam at the end of the day, kita orang tak passionate about pun.
So Aizat, kalau sekarang, where have you gotten that appreciation from?
Itu saya datang saya sendiri lah. Saya macam, I'm first of all, I'm a movie lover and I'm a music lover as well. So macam, and then sekarang ni banyak source of internet and yang kita boleh tengok and kita boleh, we are exposed actually nowadays. Cuma itulah, I would like to see in education wise, like macam standard education wise, diajar daripada kecil ni tentang apresiasi tentang seni.
Alright, thank you very much, Aizat, for that call. And you know, that's a great point, because there's not enough appreciation about the arts, about films, and you know, somehow that's almost trained out of you, you know, in primary school, in secondary school, because as Aizat mentioned, there's such focus towards the sciences and the maths.
Not just that, academic qualifications.
Yeah,
there's so much focus towards academic qualifications that we're told that these things aren't important, that oh, it's just a movie,
yeah,
it's just music.
Yep.
And it's not.
All right, Aizat, thank you very much for your call. Moving on to our next caller, Chan is on the line. Chan, what do you have to say?
Hi, I just want to say that there is some optimism in our film industry in Malaysia, because I think we've come a long way since the Sembilu days. And
Sembilu was a great film.
I mean, it was great and all, but it was rather stuck to that particular genre.
Oh, where, yes, that's, you know, true.
Yeah, the melodramatic genre. So, and then, you know, there was a bit of hope with Sing Gassing, and then, it just kind of got, then there was a Toyo trend. So I'm glad there is more variety coming up in our film industry. And the last film I watched was Ola Bola during Chinese New Year, and I wanted to watch it. And it was really good, I thought. It had a lot of heart.
And what about the variety in which you're seeing right now that you do enjoy?
I watched the previously, before Ola Bola, was The Journey, another Chiu film, and I thought it was really good. It was a departure from that horror Toyo genre film which is out there. And also, it was a departure from the Chinese local films were, you know, always going up for the cheap laughs, but not much storyline in between. So, yeah, and I also am looking forward to watch The Kid from Big Apple. So it is great to see this upcoming movies with heart and storyline.
Terrific stuff. Thank you very much, Sean, for your call. 03-771-09000 is the number to call. You can text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Ryan, you're on the line right now. Tell us, do you think censorship blocks creativity?
I think so. I mean, just I think they should relax the laws a little bit. Like, for example, we have the Ming Wei, who is one of our directors, and I think one of his films was like blocked or something.
It was blocked. I think it was called Banglasia.
Yeah. And I'm not sure whether it's like a good movie or not, but at least we get to watch it. I mean, if you have a chance to watch it, maybe there's something that is different. And even Yasmin Ahmad's films, I mean, when they are released on the DVD, when I watch it, it's altered. I mean, certain scenes are deleted which are relevant to the storyline. So I think it drops creativity, and if they can relax the rules a little bit, I think it would help. And like the filmmakers, maybe they will be like afraid to make like controversial or shall I say films that toes on the line. It will discourage them.
All right, thank you very much, Ryan. We've got another caller actually who wants to chime in on this censorship issue as well. Andrew, what do you have to say about that?
Ryan just took my point straight out. And like, because that's what I was going to mention exactly right, with the censorship side, which may be, you know, stifling the creativity, stifling the want of the directors to maybe push the boundaries a little, you know, instead, because you're talking about how it's a bit formulaic now with the movies.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why, you know. But that's what it comes down to at the end of the day.
So, Ryan, let me present a counter to that. I think we have a deeper problem than just fighting censorship personally. I think we have a problem with storytelling skills, and even in that sense of creativity, because if that was the case, even the formulaic films, we should be able to tell incredible formulaic films. We flocked to see Fast and Furious 7, one of the highest grossing movies in Malaysia, mind you. I think that in its run, it made like 17 or 20 million ringgit, which is crazy. So we like the formulas. I just think we don't pull it off. Even that, we don't pull off well enough.
Yeah, that's a good point, I think. And also, I think even if censorship was lowered, I have a feeling that, you know, there might be some Malaysians who would take offense very easily to maybe some subject matter, you know, like that might be, you know, if US or Europe, you might be able to do something about a movie about the Holocaust, for instance, mm-hmm. but imagine if we tried to do a movie about some date in May 19...
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I understand. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, thank you very much for your call. And what it is that I feel when Andrew and Ryan were speaking about the censorship thing, it feels like Malaysian filmmakers or Malaysian creators, they need to get this censorship thing out of the way, like as if, you know, we have all the freedom to do it. And a lot of it might turn out to be good stuff. A lot of it might turn out to be crap. But once they realize, well, actually, it's not censorship that is, you know, stifling creativity. It's just that you just don't know how to utilize and galvanize all the other tools that are available to tell a good story. And I think that's what a lot of people want. They just want that freedom. But I think you kind of need to sort of navigate those things. And
correct.
You're talking about a documentary. Yeah, I mean, it'd be great if you could do, you know, documentaries that tell real Malaysian stories about real Malaysian experiences. But I don't think nothing is really holding you back.
Yeah, but friend, the last movie they made about May 13, 1969 was awful.
Was there a documentary even on that?
Tadaputra.
Oh, right. Moving on. We've got, you know, a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back on Top Back talking about films and Malaysian films. BFM 89.9.
03-7710-9000 to Talk Back. BFM 89.9.
Talk Back with Uma and Ezra. We're talking to you about the Malaysian film industry, how hopeful, or optimistic, or pessimistic you are about Malaysian films. You know, we've got a poll happening on twitter.com/BFM radio, and we're asking you, if you had 20 ringgit, would you go watch Boba Boy or Kung Fu Panda 3? And let me tell you, we've got about how many, like the decent number of votes.
Oh, things. Well over 100 votes now.
Right, and the breakdown is pretty cool.
Well, it's almost neck and neck. So yeah. The breakdown hasn't shifted much, but it's still 46% are going to watch Boba Boy the movie,
yeah.
And 54% are going to watch Kung Fu Panda 3. Jack Black, let me tell you, Boba Boy is coming for you.
Yeah. Right? Right.
And he's right behind you. He's on your tail.
03-7710-9000. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us an SMS at 016-201-9000.
We've got a text from a caller. I've enjoyed spirited movies such as Ola Bola, Boba Boy, Police Evo, The Good Triumph Against Evil. Before, it was all hail evil and negative with gangsterism, ghost stories, and depressed love stories. Hey, you know what? That is still in our cinemas. It hasn't gone away yet. These are just three examples of movies that were slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a quick list, Ezra, of like just in the top 15 of last year, so many horror movies. So Villa Nabila was probably the highest grossing at 2.8 million.
Missed that one.
You had Juanita. You had Hantu Bungkus Ikat Tepi.
Great
you
title.
You had Keranda Tok Wan Terbang. I think that's more comedy though,
yeah.
Even though it's, yeah. Gudang Kubur, Zombies versus the Lucky Exorcist, and Swami Ku Ustad. Oh no, wait, I don't think that was a horror movie. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so we're gonna go back to the phone lines. We've got another Ryan, and Ryan, you think that we Malaysian folks need to support our local film industry. Tell us how.
Yes, I think we should really support, but not blindly supporting it. I'm actually quite selective when it comes to Malaysian movies. If I think that those movies are really meaningful, I will watch. But definitely not the comedy type, because I think that it's really bordering on slapstick and idiocy.
And do you think it's a case that with this notion of picking which films to go to, what is the criteria that you're looking for?
First of all, I would love to go for those movies which are actually more down to earth and more believable, and surely know nothing of jokes like. I've stopped actually watching Hong Kong movies. In fact, lately I've been watching even more Malaysian movies than Hong Kong movies, because Hong Kong movies have become too idiotic and doesn't really make sense, the movies that they make. I think Malaysia, we should really support Malaysian filmmaking industry, because only by us supporting that, it will improve. And we also should go on a joint venture with foreigners, like during the heydays of P. Ramlee, there was a collaboration between the Shaw brothers and our local talents.
Right.
We should go back to that, and I don't think that the censorship is actually helping the cause either. If you notice, the movie from P. Ramlee years, the movies seem to be more liberal, and nothing was actually off record, that actually they could talk about anything at all. It's not sensitive. But nowadays, people tend to be very politically correct, and people are really very sensitive, and it's very easy to touch their raw nerves.
Yep, I completely understand. And thank you very much for your call, Andrew. And what's really, what's really interesting is that, you know, we have a scenario in which a lot of our local films do go through a rigorous process. That was not Andrew, that was Ryan. But they go through a very rigorous process when it comes to dealing with the censorship issue, because you deal with it even before pre-production, right? I mean, you're going through a drafting stage, and it goes through a process with LPN.
It's actually a really painful process for a lot of filmmakers, right? So, yes, you deal with it in pre-production. You deal with it once the movie's been produced, and then they'll recommend a certain amount of cuts, and some of them could affect the story of the film. And so I think what frustrates a lot of filmmakers, which I've spoken to when they talk to me off the record, is that there are no clear guidelines as to what works and what doesn't. And I think it's the ambiguity that kills them, because sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, even the way a trailer is cut. So, for example, you can have a trailer and just say, and I won't name the film, but I'll give you an example. There was a movie that came out, local movie in English. And there was a trailer, and in the scene of the trailer in the cinemas, there was a married Malay couple in bed together having a conversation, right? They were both blanket up, whatever, having a conversation.
Right.
Cinema trailer, can. TV trailer, cannot.
Right.
So you cannot even show a married couple in bed together on the TV trailer that had to be narrated out.
Heaven forbid.
There you go.
We've got our next caller. Chandru is on the line. Chandru, tell us what you think about the Malaysian film industry. Is it something that excites you or frustrates you?
Yeah. I don't think Malaysian people don't have talent. They do have a lot of talents. But I think it's opportunity not to be given to all of them. And the entire industry, the movie industry, being controlled by certain players. Which not allowed a small player come into the pictures. That's really frustrated. And a movie like Jala is such a great movie, and a great choreography, and the director of the movie have done like one or two movies, if not mistaken. And you can see how much effort he put it on the screen. And it's taken off from the theater like within 2 weeks or 3 weeks, been taken out fully. And
well Jagat
like,
did quite well, and actually they had an extension of that time.
In the end, it ended up playing for about 7 weeks.
Yeah, they need to fight for every single thing.
Yes, that's true.
They need to go through the entire process to get additional weeks. It's not fair enough for every movie, every small producer, director to come out with a movie. They need to struggle so much to get it there, to be there. And this kind of small things is really frustrating us. And why is like a big movie given a big privilege and small movie is not given privilege, even though it's a good movie?
Sure. Yep. Point taken. Thank you very much, Chandru.
I totally agree with that point. I think, but you know, it really depends on how good the movie is. Jagat is one of those movies that was so good.
Yeah.
We both watched it. We both really enjoyed it. Just a great, fantastic film, but it deserved it.
You know,
there are a dozen movies that don't.
Jagat is one of those films that it was really good. And then you find out how much they had in terms of production budget to pull it off.
$300K.
And then you're like, whoa, then it's amazing.
No, you're right.
Yeah, and that's you have to scale it compared to how much legroom you have to shoot the film.
Yeah, what Sanjay pulled off was amazing with Jagat. However, you know, just go online and just look at the list of movies that are coming out and try and watch their trailers.
Yeah. Or you could just tune in tomorrow to add the movies
but you could,
with Uma.
I watched the trailer for a movie called It's the Moment, Young Arif.
Well, I shared that with you.
Or something like that, yeah. Right? Yeah, it's the trailer is god awful. It makes me want to shoot myself in the head. I don't know what the movie's going to be like.
All right, 03-771-09000 if you want to, I guess, share some sort of passionate agreement or disagreement with Uma on the topic of films and movies. Victor is on the line. Victor, what say you?
Good evening.
Good evening, Victor.
Good evening, Uma and Ezra. Why are we having this conversation? Why are we talking about this local movie? To me, there is no local movie, there is no Hollywood movie, there is no Hong Kong movie. There's only good movie and not so good movie.
And what was the last good movie that you saw that happened to be shot or produced on our shores?
It's The Journey, also directed by Chu Keng Guan, the director of Ola Bola. So I think it was quite good. It was quite good. I also understand that there are some sort of policy called this Wajib Tayang in favor of some local movie. But even that, you can have Wajib Tayang, but you cannot have Wajib Tuntun, right?
That's right.
But what I'll say is let the market decide. Don't censor anything. Then if a bad movie, I think they'll just die off. They cannot survive.
But Victor, do you agree that there are some good films that sometimes are not given the platform and opportunity to, I guess, get them over the line? And that's the question, I guess, that we're asking, because, you know, it's easy to produce a really big film and for it to flop because there's no thought or effort or no good screenplay or no good actors. We get that. But sometimes there are some of these really good small films that we don't hear about it, but Cannes hears about it first, and a lot of these film festivals overseas hear about it first. Does that mean that we don't have faith in our own setup over here?
No, as I say, I haven't watched this Ola Bola. Why? Because I prefer to watch The Mermaid, Monkey King, and London Has Fallen, I mean, during this period of time. So, to me, I think let the market decide. I mean, if you purposely want to give a helping hand to local movie, then what is a yardstick? What is the standard? So, I don't know. Seriously, I don't know. As a consumer, I just take a peek of what I feel is a movie that is not going to waste 2 hours of my time.
Yeah.
Fair point. Thank you very much,
and
Victor.
You know, I'm glad Victor brought that up. We just had a text message come in from someone just saying, I just want a good movie. And I think we're approaching today's conversation from primarily a consumer point of view, because we can talk for hours about the problems faced by filmmakers and actors and the movie industry, but I think that's not the point here, because it's very hard to convince the mass-going movie public that they should share your problems,
yeah,
right? Because you know, they just have that 20 ringgit.
Yeah, and it's a two-way street, because you have these studio and network executives who, when they decide to put money into your film, they need some sort of insurance and guarantee that whatever money that's going out, it's got to
come back in,
and it's got to stand the test of time as well.
Yeah.
So that's another complication as well. If you want to chime in, call us at 03-771-09000. Fidayu is on the line. Hi there. Fidayu, are you there? All right. Do call us back. The number once again is 03-771-09000. Our next caller is Arihan. Hello?
Hello?
Hi there. You're on the air.
I would like to comment two big budget Malaysian movies I just watched.
Mm-hmm.
One is Putri Gunung Ledang, if you remember that.
Yeah, with M. Nasir, of course.
Yeah.
Dude, you said you just watched. That movie is like a decade old.
I most recently watched.
Ah, okay.
And the other one is Raja Mahawangsa. I think the
Amarung Mahawangsa, yes.
Was a good one, because there's a twist in the movie, and then there's originality in the comedy in the movie. But Raja Mahawangsa, was it by Yusri?
It was by KRU Studios.
KRU Studios, yeah.
I think the budget for that movie was 8 million ringgit?
It was huge.
Yeah, huge, but I think it was a big waste, of course.
And So when you feel, say, disappointed in Meru Mahawangsa, like, does that
put you off Malaysian movies?
Just a bit, because I think you just comment on the movie why the quality was bad. Well, I think one of the reasons was the movie was a bit rushed to produce.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a decent enough answer. I mean, everything is rushed when you're in the business of producing content. I mean,
not after you spent $8 million. Yeah. I don't think that's an
excuse. I think somewhere around the $4 million mark, you start rushing. Thank you very much for your call, Arihan. You know, what's really interesting, I mean, we've got this poll going on at twitter.com/BFM Radio. You can participate in that as well. And we're asking you the question, if you had 20 ringgit, would you go watch Boba Boy or Kung Fu Panda 3?
Lots of votes already, 155 votes. And it's still so close. Boba Boy the movie at 42%, Kung Fu Panda 3 at 58%.
Now, for all of you folks who've seen Boba Boy, and I haven't had the pleasure of watching the film, Uma, you have. You've watched it twice.
Yes, and you can tune in for my review tomorrow.
All right.
And add the movies at 6 p.m.
All right. So, but I mean, it's, you know, the box office really responded to that film. It's probably, we've had a decent history when it comes to animation, and especially when it comes to the genre involving kids. Upin and Ipin comes to mine as well.
And then Les Copart did Gang Pengembaraan Bermula about 3 years ago. Same guys who made Boba Boy actually made that.
Yeah.
That made a lot of money at the box office too.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're going to continue Talk Back right after the 7 o'clock news. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Time for the 4 T's. Tweet, text, talk, Talk Back on BFM 89.9.
Uma and Ezra here on Talk Back, and we're asking you about Malaysian films and whether you've seen one recently. If so, did you enjoy it? Did you spend a good hard-earned 15, what was the price now? 15 ringgit, 17 ringgit, depending on which cinema you go to, depending whether it's a
Lux or a standard or
twin seats.
Yeah.
You know, one of the cinemas, you know, I tweeted one time about having, you know, ever-ready supply of salted popcorn, and immediately they rectified the issue. Now, you know, because I think there's a decent number of folks who enjoy the sweet popcorn, which is fine, but
correct.
You got to cater
to the diabetics.
Yeah, that's right.
As well.
03-77-109-1000 is the number to call. You can text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And, of course, we've got a poll happening on twitter.com/BFM Radio as well. We're asking you, if you have 20 ringgit, would you go watch Boba Boy or Kung Fu Panda 3?
They're both in cinemas now.
All right.
We got a whole bunch of texts about people's favorite movies, right? So they're naming things like Songlap, for example, Lelaki Harapan Dunia, Dayan Syed's Bunohan. Phenomenal films, right? What's interesting, of course, is I guess for any movie industry to survive, you need a mixture of those arty movies, which are incredible pieces of work, and also the big budget successes.
Like, yes.
Police Evil, The Journey, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I think because that's what keeps the actual industry afloat, right? Those kind of earnings. And so when that happens, then, you know, hopefully some of that budget trickles back into the art movies as well.
Sure, but I think there's also this notion about, you know, a lot of these suits and executives, you know, when you have an art house film that's doing well, you know, overseas or doing well locally, I think there has to be an opportunity to acknowledge that, well, they might not just be doing art house because they only do art house. You might want to give them the reins to a big budget action film because they have the chops to do it. And I think
because they're a good director.
They're a good director. Producer, yeah. So I don't know if that cycle is actually necessarily in place. I think people get pigeonholed into the style or genre of what they do. I think you can do an action film. I think you can do a rom-com. I mean, you can be good at both as long as you're a good director.
And they have those same debates in America right now as well. They're saying, oh, you know, superhero movies, they're a dime a dozen. They're sucking the air out of Hollywood. And that's all people want to watch. And all the money is going there. And it's the same debate we're having here, right? Do we fund the art house movies? Do we just fund the movies that we know are guaranteed to give us good returns?
Let's hear from Silva. Silva, what do you think about local against foreign films? What do you have to say?
Hey guys, I think local films are quite good. Like, our quality has improved over the years, but I think one problem that local films have in comparison to foreign films is that we're trying to emulate a lot of Hollywood aspects into our films, you know. So rather than trying to make movies that sort of homologize what we do, or sort of speak of the local language, I think we're trying to emulate Hollywood too much.
And what kind of stuff are we trying to emulate, if you can try and be specific?
Like, I feel like in the movie Police Evil and stuff, these are cop movies that we've seen dime a dozen. The only thing now is that we're perhaps putting into a more Malaysian flavor in order to like sort of capture that market. But I think if you were to make a movie that isn't about drug busts or anything like what Hollywood has done, perhaps like Putri Gunung Ledang, that was something that's I think more homogenized to Malaysian culture, and we could relate to those kind of things. You see something that, oh, we have to watch it, not because it's a Malaysian film and support it, but it's something that no other film industry is going to talk about.
And you feel that the Police Evo film, despite the success, you didn't think that it was very Malaysian in its presentation, I guess? Is that what you're trying to say?
I guess it has a Malaysian flavor to it, but what I feel it's like, it's trying to emulate films that we've already seen dime a dozen times, like, you know, Two Cops. It's the same as watching Bad Boys.
Like Bad Boys or Lethal Weapon. And I guess what they were banking on, or when I say they, I assume that the studios
or
the directors, is that there's a formula of success of entertainment and enjoyment. It's not supposed to be anything more than a really good popcorn film. Do you think that's like a bad thing necessarily?
Perhaps so, because what happens when you try to emulate Hollywood and then you basically put yourself in the same ring as Hollywood films, and then if, let's say, Bad Boys 3 were to come out, then people would have choose and had to choose between Police Evo and Bad Boys 3, chances are they were going to choose a Hollywood film because they know the production value is higher and the content is going to be way much more better for the $20 they're paying, you see. But if you were to make movies that perhaps are different from what you would see in other countries and all that, that only not only does it grow our film industry, but also it gives us a more unique flavor. Like when you watch French films, you don't watch it because it offers the same thing as Hollywood do.
Right.
You know, they have their own art house films. They were the guys who basically bring in the noir films into noir genre into the world. And same time with Korean or Japanese films, they have their own kind of action flicks or even horror stories that are sort of local to them only. And
yeah,
something that aspect.
The look of it has its own identity as well. And I think we definitely can appreciate that. Thank you very much for your call, Silva. Good points there.
I agree with that. There's that innate competition because our market is so open when it comes to movies. Like, we bring in movies from all over the world. We try to. Of course, the majority is from Hollywood, because that's what makes money for the cinemas, right?
Yep.
That being said, we have at the moment this exact problem in cinemas. You've got Bubble Boy and Kung Fu Panda 3.
Yeah.
And we're asking you on Twitter, if you had 20 ringgit, which would you watch?
Right.
I'll give you a teaser to my review tomorrow. They're both excellent films.
Right, but by Silva's logic, then Malaysians should be rushing to watch Kung Fu Panda 3. So why do you think, at least from our very scientific poll on Twitter right now, why do you think that the numbers are so close? I mean, what's the Twitter poll saying right now?
So the Twitter poll now is saying that 42% are going to watch Bubble Boy the movie, 58% are going to watch Kung Fu Panda 3. This is about 175 people responded so far, right? And I think the reason why is because we know Bubble Boy has been on television screens for many years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a TV series. We know it's a solid product. And if you have seen the movie, you'll realize that actually its strength lies in the story and the storytelling. And that's what makes it a good film. So, you know, that's where it wins.
03-771-09000 is the number to call. We're talking about Malaysian films and shooting the breeze about whether you think, you know, local films, it's worth the money that's in your wallet right now and whether you're going to spend it on a film like Kung Fu Panda 3 or Bubble Boy. Miss Chung is on the line. Nope. Apparently not. Do try call us back. The number is 03-771-09000. We've got Reza on the line. Reza, what do you have to say about some of the bad films that have come out of Malaysian producers and directors? What do you have to say about that?
Yeah. Hi, Ezra. Hi, Umar.
Hello.
I think just one observation. I think for markets, besides Malaysian markets, we just have too many films per year. So we just probably have like 5 or 6 films per month. So, and with ticket prices going up, I think, you know, you just throw any film out there, probably not going to get anything. So the point is, I think I kind of like can relate with one of the callers just now who said that let the market decide. Because sometimes I think to have a reset in this film industry is just to let it die down first so that you weed out the weaker players and then you get the filmmakers who matter. Because we've heard this conversation many, many times. Like, people should support good movies. People should support good movies. It's just a never-ending thing. But at the end of the day, it's the economics of it.
And there's not enough good movies for you and I to support, right?
But then again, that isn't a fair statement. Because as you've pointed out, I mean, some are art films, some are entertainment.
Correct.
Films for entertainment, right? So So the only way to differentiate between the two is that entertainment films are made thinking with the audience in mind. Well, art films, it's just the filmmakers just wanna express what he thinks. That's it.
So yeah, but do you not think they can both be good films? So I mean I'm not I don't think there's a I don't think you can put the value of good to either or, right? They can both be really good films.
Depends. Because you have to also think about it this way, because if let's just say it's an art film, usually it's not gonna be funded by big studios or it's really gonna be really hard to be funded, right? And if you are looking for entertainment firms, then you have to deal with the executives who will think that this is what is good to them. And based on that, they will look at trends. So if in the past, horror movies make money, then you'll see a lot of horror movies. Let's just say you see Police Evo, you're going to see a lot of Police Evo coming out. You see films like Ola Bola coming out, then you'll see a lot of those films coming out.
Oh, suddenly got a lot of football movies.
That's why you see Bomber Evo, you see Nurse Evo coming out. It's a cycle. But I guess we are a more developed society these days, and we are going to continue to develop. I think it's just going to happen naturally, whether or not you support the movie industry. Filmmakers are just going to still be making films, and then after a long, long time, perhaps Malaysia can be as good as the rest. I think that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much for your call, Reza.
I agree with Reza in that we make too many films every year. We release about 7 to 8. There was a time when we used to have only one movie a week, mm-hmm. 40 movies a year. It doubled.
Yeah.
Now it's about 80 movies a year, and I don't think that's sustainable.
We've got our next caller, Bob. And Bob, what do you think about the Malaysian market? Do you think there's enough variety of art house films and big box office blockbusters? What do you think?
I think generally Malaysian movie always tend to like certain themes. As the previous caller said, we like these fads or these trends, and that's where we flock to, and therefore the movie companies react in ways. I mean, if you look at, apart from, I mean, The Journey and so on, that's exceptions, but if you look at the really big blockbusters, you know, they're all formulaic in one way or another. Horror movies was big at one point, action movies starting to become big again, and back in the 90s, you know, Yusof Hasan made a killing, basically churning out the same story about
that's right.
Right? So that's how it is. That's the economy to it. And I think for me, it's not making the impact as much as I would like to see, because you know we're not able to make the serious stuff. We're horribly bad in making good historical movies. You know,
It's not our thing. History, you know, we'd like to fictionalize it as much as possible.
Embellish it.
Right. Yeah. So that is where I think we as a society, as a country, that's what we're lacking. That's what we're missing. But the other thing I wanted to say was, you know, you asked that question on the poll. I can't go. Yeah, on Twitter, I'm driving right now. But
where would you put your vote?
Boy, and I think it's an excellent, excellent movie. I brought my kid there, and we spent the whole time just, you know, laughing our guts out. It was really, really good.
Fantastic.
Terrific stuff. Thank you very much, Bob, for your call. And, you know, it's fascinating because everybody's got, you know, everybody's so passionate about films and movies, and the same way people are.
Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got something to say.
Yeah. Yet,
I don't know if we actually are committed to going and watching these movies, even if they're good.
Yeah.
Right? So there are a lot of good movies. So take Jagat. It's a great example. It did get extended to 7 weeks, but, you know, it was down to like one or two cinemas by the end in the seven
weeks.
But
isn't
that
more about the cinema people who kind of don't want to take that risk on having one hall dedicated towards Jagat? And,
correct.
And that's partly to blame, you know, when it comes to the system.
It is the system, but it's also, you know, people aren't committed to going. Everyone will say, yeah, of course I'll go and watch it.
Definitely. I will like it on Facebook.
Like it on Facebook.
I need everybody to know that I am liking the Jagat trailer.
I will retweet your tweet, but I won't actually spend the money to go and watch it.
Our next caller, we haven't heard from her in a while. May is on the line. How are you doing, May?
Oh, fine. If I have the money, I will watch the two films. You have to support the Malaysian film industry, you know. And the government also needs to support them. Too much curbing. A professor was criticized vehemently for producing Hantu films. I think, finally, the film needs to sell. it will be a flop if they don't get back their money. So why? Because he's a professor, you have to blame him for doing Hantu films. The other thing is that recently, it's regarding TV shows. It was a 6 day. They had at TJ Live. Perhaps I saw Poo Jun Han, I think, and Douglas, and his comedians. More than 10 of them. They were doing for Astro of some TV shows on comedy, and it was really, really good.
All right. Terrific stuff. Thank you very much for that, man. Yeah, I think Douglas Lim and Kwajin Han.
Kwajin Han, I think Harith Iskandar did some stuff, Comedy-ry, I think it was.
Yeah. So, folks, we've been taking lots of your calls and texts and tweets. Uma, just give us a rundown of some of the text messages and also that Twitter poll that you've got going about whether people spend 20 ringgit to watch Bubble Boy or Kung Fu Panda.
I had a bunch of people ask me what happened to the movie The New Village. You remember that? It was an Astro Shaw production. Someone raised it in Parliament saying that it was about communism, and then it got banned.
Oh yeah,
nobody knows. I think Astro Show had to eat that one and just shelve it.
Okay,
essentially. I have no idea what happened to the movie New Village. There's also a lot of talk about, Namwee's movies. Yes, he gets a lot of noise around his films. You know, Asilomat 2.0. What happened with Banglesia? I don't know if by any measure that you can necessarily consider them good movies.
Mm-hmm. But they're films, nevertheless.
But they're films, nevertheless. But,
I think with the issue about Namwee is that I think Malaysians feel strongly about giving,
anyone who's fighting the power.
Well, everyone who's fighting the power, but I think just being given the platform to screen their film, I think that's where the angle is. It's not about so much whether the film is any good or not. I think that Malaysian cinema goers just want to have the option whether to say yes to it or no to it, and I think that's where the frustration comes from. Yuding, you're our last caller of the day. What do you have to say?
I just wanted to give suggestions on, instead of arguing to compete whether my 20 ringgit can go and watch a Hollywood movie or a local film, I would think maybe we need to look at how we can get the local films to not compete with Hollywood films. For example, having it free on TV, for example, or on the web and stuff like that, so people don't have to choose where to spend their 20 ringgit, but they can still spend their 20 ringgit on the Hollywood film and watch the local films that come out on some sort of TV or web video
thing. I like that idea, but how then do local films make money?
I think that's where the government would come in, because we already have Film Negara and all these subsidies and stuff that's coming out to subsidize lots of these productions to a certain extent. So maybe this money can be thought of being used in a different way.
Oh, I don't know, man. That's a slippery slope, man. More subsidies. But thank you so much for your call.
All right. Thank you very much for all your calls, texts, and tweets. We're going to have a final look at this Twitter poll. What's the final result, Uma? Are people going to go Kung Fu Panda 3 or Bubble Boy?
So it's a 60-40 right down there. We've got 209 votes so far. 60% say they will watch Kung Fu Panda 3. 40% say they will watch Bubble Boy the movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going
to... I will encourage people to watch both. They're both exceptional films.
Yeah.
Go see Bubble Boy first.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to bring my nephew to it, because he enjoys going to the cinema, and it's such a fun experience. And this whole thing about supporting the local film industry, I've never been bought into that whole thing. I'm more than happy to support it if it's good, and that's the most defining criteria for me, at least.
And I think that's what we should all do, because I think that then creates a sense of what is good and what is out there, right?
Yeah.
And so
it's a nice filter, isn't it, about where money should be spent, and also for these studios who spend a lot of money on producing a lot of films.
And also, you know what the people like. The people like a varied bunch of things. People like Fast and Furious. They like Michael Bay.
Yeah.
They spend lots of money on him. They also like Ola Bola. They like The Journey. So, I have no problem with formulaic genre films like that. I think they serve a purpose, and they give me what I want for any particular period of time. So I don't think we should look down on those kind of movies either.
Well, in the same way that a lot of people like to hear movie reviews on radio to find out what films that they want to watch.
Where else can you get good movie reviews?
Yeah, so tune in tomorrow at 6 o'clock at the movies. Uma's got a few reviews lined up for you. Thanks for tuning in to Talk Back. It's BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.